Hello, Monday, May 3rd, beautiful day, some good conversation. Can't thank you enough for stopping by. We have some inside information. We have a good convo with a billionaire. I mean, today is a good day to have a great day. Can't thank you enough for allowing us to penetrate your ear holes. If you like this show by the end of it, please be a friend and tell a friend about it. If not, just act like it never happened. Ty, hope you had an incredible bachelor party weekend.
It was great. Thank you. A lot of fun.
Great to have you back.
Good to be back.
And to everybody else, let's get to this thing. Monday is obviously a massive day because a lot of things happen over the weekend that we get a chance to chat about. For instance, Medina Spirit 12-1 Kentucky Derby. Congratulations to Medina. Now, were the ponies important to this Kentucky Derby weekend? Of course. And I had no idea that a dead heat was actually a real thing. When a horse ties another horse nose for nose, there's two winners of a horse race, it's a dead heat, blah, blah, blah. I learned all that. Now, I also learned that at the Kentucky Derby, humans were back. More specifically, star-studded humans. To be more exact after that, Tom Brady was there with his crew.
Of course.
Yeah. Yep. Baker Mayfield, I think, was with that crew. Seemed like the Tom Brady crew was having a good time. Julian Edelman was there. Mm-hmm. Amendola was there. A lot of people were there. Not as much conversation about them other than how good Tom Brady looked dressing. Now, there was another crew, you see, that was down in Louisville.
Oh.
Down at Churchill Grounds.
Dance.
On the grounds of the Churchill. Dance.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers and crew were there.
Ooh. Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers looking incredibly happy alongside Shailene Woodley and his group of friends down there, including that dude from Philadelphia.
Yeah, Miles Teller.
I don't know how he made it in there.
Good for him.
Ty, you should have been in there, hopefully. But good for him. And their ladies were there. It was a big weekend. Everybody was talking about, you know, Aaron Rodgers had a hat on because I believe the hair is potentially getting longer. Mm-hmm. He looked incredibly happy, big smiles. He looked very thin, I think, from the photo. He looked incredible shape there. I don't know what's going on. And then when he gave an interview with a horse crew, I don't know who it was, he had a name tag on that said Turd Ferguson.
Yeah.
Okay? He had a Turd Ferguson name on. NBC's Mike Tirico asked to speak to him. He goes, no, thank you, sir. Mike Tirico goes, after speaking to Turd Ferguson, he has told us that he is disappointed that this entire rift has gone public. So the entire storyline of the Kentucky Derby is obviously the most, electric 2 minutes in sports or whatever. Way to go, Medina.
Incredible.
Thank you, Medina.
Wow.
Hey, wow. Way to run out there. Woo. But the storyline I took away from the whole thing is, okay, Aaron's there. They had zoom-in shots of him landing. He was up over the ledge. Everybody wants to know what the hell's going on with him. And I'm here to tell you that today we will be having a conversation with AJ Hawk. Was in the photo, infamous photo. His gnarly fingers were in that infamous photo. I guess I don't know what to do with my hand situation has happened with AJ Hawk in the photos that he has taken in the past at the Kentucky Derby. Him and Aaron have kind of, it's become like a tradition or whatever. Whatever the case, AJ's coming on the show today. And I talked to AJ yesterday via text message.
Ooh.
I said, do you want off this week? And he said, why? I said, because everything you were just with him at Kentucky Derby.
Yep. Oh,
yeah. And I don't know how much you talked to him. I actually said, I'm going to pepper you with questions. So you just need to let me know or whatever. Everything that AJ says about what Aaron potentially told him is going to get quoted and go. There are people who have sources that are saying there's less than a 5% chance that this ends with Aaron Rodgers as a Packer. Then there's people that are hopeful, potential, optimistic that Gunther Kuntz and Aaron can reconsider. Then there's other people that are like, Aaron's not sticking around if Gunther Kuntz is there. Everybody seems to have sources. Who the hell are all of these sources? We'll never know. A lot of people are saying, of course, Aaron Rodgers wanted to steal all the attention from draft. I think that article that we all read that kind of, you know, leaked all this information publicly, it feels like, now, I'm not sure if Schefter has come out and said this, and maybe we're not. That felt like that came from the Packers' point of view there.
Yeah.
Aaron saying to Mike Tirico he's disappointed this has gone public, I think that is also what we have to remember here. Who's talking to who and why and how? We'll talk to AJ and his fucked up fingers after a day and a half or two with Aaron Rodgers to see what he has heard, what he is thinking, what his mindset is. We actually have a poll today asking the people, what do you think the future looks like for Aaron Rodgers? There's a couple options here. He's back with the Packers, which I think Packers fans would be incredibly
please
pumped, be incredibly pumped about. Doesn't seem likely. Nope. Seems like every person that has an alleged source, wherever the hell their alleged source may be, who knows who sources are talking to who. He might retire, though. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Might
it's retire, been floated.
And he might play somewhere else. There is a lot of very fascinating outcomes to this entire thing. Our poll at youtube.com/ThePatMcAfee Show on our community page is up and running. Right now, the leader in the clubhouse at 53% is Aaron Rodgers plays for another team. 18% of the people think that Aaron Rodgers retires. 29% think that Aaron Rodgers continues to play for the Packers. And that's out of a pool of 14,000 people. So Aaron to another team is something that I think everybody's assuming is going to happen. What if he retires? What if he stays with the Packers? It is a conversation piece for sure and for the foreseeable future.
Ooh.
To use the Green Bay Packers words, not ours. Ty Schmidt, how do you feel about the whole thing? We saw Mad Mel Kiper have to really react to a future with no Aaron Rodgers over there. It is taking over every conversation in the NFL right now. Even though there's a lot of young guys we will talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Justin Fields in Chicago. Do we like it? Do we hate it? Got to talk about it. We'll talk about Mac Jones running a 4.6 something allegedly at his pro day. How come that was never talked about until right now? We'll also talk about Michael Vick still running a 4.7 at the age of 40. Looks like he could still get on the field if he had to. But for a moment, Aaron Rodgers not being a Packer seems to be the majority of people's thoughts. Ty, will you just pick up your fanhood and go elsewhere? Because there's a lot of Packers fans out there saying, if you leave with Aaron, you never cared about the Packers to begin with. They're calling you a fugazi.
And that's fine. You know, it's fine because I'm not going to do anything drastic yet. But it is. I mean, we found out this information, right before the show started on Thursday. So I kind of just had to sit with it all day and, like, let it soak in. And you never really thought it was going to be real. But even, like, the draft, you know, I mean, it's hard to really the Packers did a pretty good job. You know, they went out, they got a receiver, they got a couple linemen. Like, they filled needs that they definitely needed to do. But at the end of the day, like, until this thing gets resolved, this is just a goddamn storm cloud over everything. Like, it's hard to even – you don't even want to think about Packers or, like, the or football or anything, because if Rodgers leaves town, like, it's just – I mean, you never thought – like we've talked about it. Like, you felt like you saw the writing on the wall and, like, that this was coming. But then he actually played the year, won the MVP. It's like, okay, you know, things are going to be put to rest now. He's going to be a Packer for the rest of his career. And then, you know, boom, the nuclear option comes and everyone's just kind of – shocked. I mean, I don't think anyone should be, because he's been pretty adamant, you know, about how he's felt disrespected up to this point. But it's just, boy, it is tough to swallow. It still almost doesn't seem real.
All right, let's move on. Enough with the Aaron Rodgers potentially not a Packer talk for the moment. It will come back in about 50 minutes when AJ Hawk joins us, where I want to let you know, AJ, I think he enjoys this show. I think he enjoys being a part of it every day.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be in a hot seat today.
Yeah, not today.
That's the way it
goes.
I
would like to know, too.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have to speak about this for a little bit. And I'm not going to be the guy who goes to Aaron and says, hey, I need you to
tell me what's going on.
I'm not
going
to do that. That's just not how I operate. Maybe a couple more years in this business, it'll change me and I want to do that or whatever, but I don't. But AJ signed up to be that guy.
Oh, yeah.
AJ went on a goddamn a couples resort trip to Louisville, Kentucky with him. Like, hey, this is going to happen. Can't wait to chat. Maybe we'll get some more answers. Maybe we won't get anything. Excited to hear that. The fallout from the weekend with a couple different storylines. Philadelphia Eagles front office, not on the same page, appears, with the drafting of Devontae Smith, trading up and doing that. Although the spin zone is that they stole a draft pick from the Giants, I believe. Mm-hmm. The Giants wanted Devontae Smith. The big video going around is when old Howie rolls over to, I think, Bill or Bob something, who's the director of personnel, goes to give him a fist bump after they just did the full rounds. And this guy looks directly at his fist and goes, get the fuck away from me. I don't know. He was just fed up. He does not like it. It was the beautiful depiction of what everybody thinks the Philadelphia Eagles front office looks like, and it happened. Although, I assume this is a regular, okay? I assume that in war rooms, they're called that for a reason. There are some potential casualties in that whole thing. There are some people's opinions that don't get accounted for as much as others, but that was beautiful to watch behind the scenes in Philadelphia. And Eagles fans go, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, the old guy who looks like he's been around football the longest hates what we just did.
Yeah.
Hey, but it was there. A long snapper got drafted.
Yep.
Yeah.
To the Carolina Panthers. Logan Fletcher, incredible snapper from Alabama, I do believe. And there was a moment caught on tape, which, by the way, I love social media because this shit would have never gotten out in the past. It's something that people probably wouldn't have deemed important enough to put on network television or anything like that. A dream coming true whenever you have no idea. Whenever you're in that seventh round there, there's a lot of calls being made to players and their agents about, hey, undrafted free agency now. There's signing bonuses that are negotiated in the undrafted free agent. So there's some guys that actually, once they become a free agent, sign a signing bonus that is very equivalent to somebody who got drafted in the seventh round, because now they have options on places to go and teams want different people. So that's its own business in of itself. This year, I don't know how much because the OTA is being virtual and it's going to be tough to make it in that role. But if you're a long snapper, punter, or kicker, normally that seventh round, you're praying to God you get drafted. But a lot of it is, hey, which situation's best? Which teams are interested? So Logan Fletcher, long snapper, Matt Rhule, I assume he and Matt Rhule have had a relationship via a workout or whatever has happened in the past. He obviously assumed that Matt Rhule was trying to recruit him to come to Carolina as an undrafted free agent. He was like, you know, you're gonna have to talk. I think there's some other beautiful moment. Matt Rhule and his new long snapper, Logan Fletcher, on draft day, seventh round.
Hey, Fletch, what's up, Rhule?
What's up, brother?
You coming or what?
Trying to figure it out right now.
No. I just drafted you. You coming or what?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, bro.
No, you did not.
No, shit.
Welcome to Carolina.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. Welcome to Carolina Panthers.
Dude, chill out.
Dude, chill out.
I cannot wait to help you win, man. I cannot wait to help you win.
I love it.
That's awesome. So, like, literally, Matt Rhule trolling him, too, by the way. Like, are you coming? He's like,
I'm trying to figure it out. Matt, I love you.
I appreciate you. This is an awesome phone call, but I've got a couple other places that need a long snapper. No, I just drafted you. No, shit. What a moment. Good for Logan. That's like the draft weekend that doesn't get talked about a lot. Late in the seventh round, sixth round, guys that have no idea they were going to make it. It is not, everybody assumes that it's a fun weekend for everybody, and I assume it could be. I mean, Mac Jones, people were feeling bad for Mac Jones, by the way, because he dropped to 15 or whatever. Everybody's like, oh, no, because there's a Brady Quinn, same thing. Johnny Manziel, same thing. There's guys that have no idea. They're just dropping all the way, by the way, right into fucking insurance salesman.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there is. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that are like, am I going to get a shot? Am I going to get an opportunity? I hope so. Here we go. Logan Fletcher, that was an awesome moment. You get drafted as a long snapper, you're going to have a job for at least a year. Now, you're going to have to really fuck it up to lose your job. Uh-huh. But if you're getting drafted as a long snapper, they're investing capital in there, you're going to be in a good spot. At Boston Connor, Mac Jones walking as if he had just struck a deal at Shark Tank.
Yep.
He was just waiting for some sort of paralegal document to be signed to all the way up to Roger Goodell to become the New England Patriot quarterback. I assume you thought, and we all thought, this was Bill's plan all along.
Of course.
He's going to get Mac Jones. Then once we watched what was going on in the war room and Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia, they did not seem sold on Mac Jones at all.
No.
At all. Robert Kraft had to go, we're all real excited. He had to double down on there. They did not sound excited at all. Cam's a starter until Jared or Mac can keep up with this. How do you feel knowing now that it didn't really seem like they wanted Mac Jones? This was not a plan. Is this a new Patriots? What's going on over there?
Well, I'll be honest. I was a little worried seeing the walk, and then you look further into it. His nickname is the Joker, and some people were saying he was doing the old Heath Ledger Joker walk.
I like
so,
that.
So honestly, a little more moxie for me, honestly. But I feel good about it. I mean, we talked about it earlier. He ran a 4.68 at his pro day. Who knew?
Who's that?
Mac Jones.
Who's that?
That's Mac Jones.
That's faster than Michael Vick.
Faster than Vick
right now. That's faster than 40-year-old Michael Vick right now.
Mac Jones has burners. I can't believe that wasn't talked about leading up to it. But, I mean, hey, we didn't have to give up anything for him. You know, at least we took a quarterback instead of a, you know, D2 safety, who's probably unbelievable either way. But it's just nice that we went offense and actually went with a QB that could potentially have a massive future.
You might be dead, though, because Ernie's gone.
That's a bummer. But that even makes me feel better that every single draft pick this year was part of Ernie's last draft. So I'm expecting, you know, 8 to 10 Pro Bowls combined out of those guys.
That kind of came out of nowhere that Ernie was retiring. You assumed he was at retirement age like 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Because he's always looked the exact same. But whenever you're talking about, you know, like this super genius that's in the sky for the Patriots that everybody talks about as a secret weapon. A lot of players that have played there go like, oh, Ernie has come down to me and said like, hey, try this instead of this or whatever. He's just like this almost all-knowing figure up there in New England. Now, his name will always be inked with a lot of different situations as sign, signal stealing and potential other stuff because he just seemed to be smarter than everybody. But man, I was always fascinated with this Ernie guy. And I thought to myself, how long can this fucking guy go? It seems like he's been going forever. Now we know this is the last year of old Ernie. Going to have to go get one for what, his second ring finger?
Yeah, win this one for Ernie.
Is this one for Ernie?
This one's for Ernie.
You bring in all those new players? Julian Edelman retires. He's out of the building.
Yep.
Kyle Van Noy comes back, though. He's going to have to be the one that sets the tone. Like, hey, this one's for Ernie.
This one's Ernie.
I know you guys don't know him, okay? But this dude's an absolute legend up there. This one's for Ernie. Speaking of the Patriots, Julian Edelman has responded to us responding to a conversation that happened on the NFL's draft-a-thon. Tom Brady was sitting on a 9-way Zoom with Mark Wahlberg, Julian Edelman, Kevin Hart, I forget who else.
Kay Adams,
Deion Sanders. Yeah. Anyways, Tom Brady told the crowd that Julian's not retiring. He was just scared to tell Belichick that he was coming down. And he said, I've been there. And we were like, whoa. So is Tom, you know, kind of potentially hinting at he's going to try to recruit Julian Edelman out of retirement? And maybe Julian Edelman right now, although his knee hurts, he'll find out. Maybe they'll figure out a way to manage it a little bit better. And is he going to come out of retirement and go down to where retired whites go, down to Florida, join Gronk, Tom, and the boys to try to win another Super Bowl? We just started thinking, like, that would make sense.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That would make a lot of sense. And then I kind of questioned Boston Connor. I was like, how do you feel if Julian does this? And Connor was like, well, then the Foxborough Forever is actually all bullshit or whatever.
Yeah.
Julian responded and said, like, hey, Bubs, I ain't going anywhere. Hashtag Foxborough Forever.
Yeah.
Okay. Woo! So, Connor, exactly what you said, I think, kind of rang true with Julian. He's like, there's the Patriots fan. He just said that me saying Foxborough Forever doesn't mean shit. If I go and do this, I want to let him know I'm with him. He said, I'm a Patriot for the rest of my life.
That's right.
You were almost out on him being in the Hall of Fame, remember?
Yeah,
Close.
He was out on him.
Yeah.
Now, with that tweet, are you all the way back in?
First ballot. I mean, put the guy in the Hall of Fame tomorrow. I don't know what's taking so long.
You're an absolute idiot. People go through many changes as we get older, isn't that right?
Oh, yeah.
For men, one of the less fortunate changes is that testosterone production begins to naturally decrease in the body. Did you know this, AJ?
I am aware.
For most men, it begins around the age of 30, and testosterone production declines by roughly 1% per year.
My Whoa. God.
So if you live to 130, you ain't got shit left.
No, right? Minus 30.
Well, if it starts around 30, this is one of those questions on a test where, you know, begins around 30, and the testosterone production declines by roughly 1% per year. So does it start at zero or does it start at 30? That's the thing. This is where they can get you.
It's one of them damn word problems.
This is one of those problems where you're like, well, wait a minute. Which, can I ask a follow-up? Anyways, I was good at those tests because I always viewed it as me versus the fucking teacher.
That's right.
Okay. I don't know what's going on, but this is me versus you. Fuck you. That's how I view it. That's why friends at Roman have a new supplement designed to support testosterone production. I did not know this. They formulated their own supplements with transparent and scientifically backed ingredients. You hear this, AJ? Roman's testosterone supplement is for anyone who wants to support their own body's natural function. They formulated their own blend with transparent and scientifically backed ingredients. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/USA. Their supplement contains vitamin D3,
what?
Zinc,
what?
Magnesium,
what?
Maca,
what?
And ashwagandha in a unique blend designed by healthcare professionals that you can't get anywhere else. To learn more about these incredible ingredients, visit GetRoman.com/USA. Roman is offering $15 off your first order and will deliver your supplements right to your door with free 2-day shipping. When you go to GetRoman.com/USA, get $15 off your first order plus free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman, GetRoman.com/USA. That's good news. Let's try that stuff.
Okay.
I've been looking for that type of stuff.
That's good news. Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Now we know.
Hey, Roman.
Thank you, Roman.
Thank you, Roman.
Thank you, Roman. Hammer Down Boys are in here at Bubba Gumpino, at Tone Diggs, the COVID Cowboy. Boys still riding a hot streak, yeah?
Yes, sir. 9-5 baseball this weekend.
Okay, 9-5, Diggs.
Forgot how much I love betting the ponies.
Ooh. Oh, did you hit Medina Spirit?
It's close. It did not hit
Medina. Close, yeah, close.
Close doesn't work.
It matters in horse shoes, yeah, but not in horse racing.
That's right. That's right. Still a great
day. Still a great day. I enjoyed watching the entirety of the races while, you know, kind of nodding in and out of sleep after Thursday night draft night, which, by the way, now that everybody's here, hey, thank you guys so much. Yeah. I'm going to wait for the Hammer Down Boys to get in here. So I want you to know, Gumpy, I know you were working the ticker a little bit. Diggs, I know you were trying to do your best to research everything. The boys in the back, everybody that was here, thank you guys so much for Thursday night. It was fucking fantastic. Awesome. I hope you know that. I had a blast. It was a lot of fun. So thank you all for all your work. Now that we're here, a man who also joined us on draft night, then hopped in a car immediately to drive to be in a photo that would be seen across every single news market. Ladies and gentlemen, AJ Hall.
Yeah! What's up, man? How you doing?
Just hanging out, bro. How are you?
Oh, I see. What are you doing with your hand up like that?
What's that, man? I saw this in TMZ. Yeah. I saw this on the E Network. This. Okay. I think Ryan Seacrest put it out.
He did. On Extra.
I heard Mike Tirico talking about it. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I seen it on my social medias.
Yeah.
Your social medias.
Oh, yeah. Chuck Robinson.
I saw it on Charles Robinson. I saw it on everybody's social media. It was this. They're calling it the AJ Hawk Claw.
Yeah.
The Claw photo. Hey, claws get your up. Claw. Claws up. Woo! Get your Claw photo up. You looked unbelievable, as did your wife. The entire crew looked incredible. How was the weekend, AJ? Let's talk about it.
It was fun. It was a very short weekend for me. I don't know how this picture got out there anyway. Posted it first?
I actually don't.
Probably Miles Teller.
He said it was Takatari's family that leaked that whole thing.
It was his lady. It was on her Instagram.
That's what Zito just said. So I don't know. I don't know how it got out. That is what Zito is alleging, which, by the way.
Because I looked everywhere. I found it.
Nothing you can do about it if it is.
Nope.
Yeah. Bakhtiari, there ain't nothing anybody can do about it either. But you look good in that photo. Everybody looks so happy. Was it a happy vibe down there? Or did everybody kind of get the vibe like, oh, there's a lot of shit being talked about us right now everywhere?
When I showed up, they were already there, obviously. It had been an eventful Thursday night for them, I guess, with everything that had gone on. They'd all gotten into town, and, yeah, I walked into it, and it didn't feel that weird. And when we got to the track, we were in a little different area this year up top in, like, our own little box, so it wasn't crazy why we were there.
Okay, so I'm happy to hear you guys were in a new place.
All right, AJ. Woo!
Air conditioning up there. The significant others were brought. Also, yeah. Miles Teller. Did you get any selfies with Miles Teller or Mai Tai? Did you know him going in? How did that all come about?
Miles is the man. We had a great dinner Friday before we left town, and Miles was very active participant. Me and him going back and forth for a while. Yeah, I played golf with him in Tahoe, and he's been around a decent amount. Yeah, awesome dude. Great actor, too.
Miles Teller.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he embodies the character whenever he goes in there. We love Miles Teller. Let's also talk. You know what? While we're at it, Randall Cobb's down there. That's awesome. Yeah. Atari's down there. Uh-huh. Some other guy I've never heard of. But then there was Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if you saw that. Aaron Rodgers was there wearing a hat. He looked incredibly happy right behind Shailene Woodley there. He looked a little thin in this particular photo, but I don't know what he normally would look like. How was he doing, AJ? How was Aaron Rodgers, also known as Turd Ferguson, doing through this entire thing, man? That was awesome.
I mean, I think from what I could tell, yeah, he does look a little trimmer than normal. He's definitely a little skinny at the moment. But
is he retiring? He's retiring. He's retiring. Okay,
so that's one thing I absolutely could say. Like, my opinion would be there is a 0% chance Aaron retires.
Okay.
We all saw
the claw.
Yeah.
It was in the photo.
Claws up.
His opinion is that there's a 0% chance of retirement. Okay. So, hey. That's
what we're going on. Hold on. Did people really think that was a possibility? I don't care.
Oh, yeah, dude.
No, but if you actually look at it, Pat, just go back. I know you can't think 5 minutes before what just happened, but if you go back and you listen to him speak on, like, the competitive nature of what football is and what it brings him, really think that dude's going to walk away from the game?
No, listen, I understand. And believe me, we talked about that as well. But then there was reports allegedly from his team that he is willing to take a hard line on this, whether it's holding out or possibly even retirement, which caused the internet to go completely into a scurry yet again, just like after the day he said he would love to be the Jeopardy full-time host and he did well in it. So, hey, with your conversations and what you're saying, you know him a lot better than any of us. You're caught in the photo mm-hmm. at the Kentucky Derby. You say 0% chance retirement. Okay, so there's one.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Now,
I'm not in at, and I'm not speaking for him by any means.
Too late, dude. Too late.
I would... Like, okay, Pat, I'm just saying. It never, when I heard that floated out there, I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I guarantee you he's not retired.
Okay.
Guarantee.
AJ Hawk's thoughts, all right, after potentially being in the same photo. Did you talk to him at all? And I know this is a away from business trip, right? It's everybody mm-hmm. in there. Hey, let's have a good time. Significant others are there. I assume that it had to be addressed, the situation that was happening directly around that little box you guys were in. There was a camera full time on your box. I assume you know that. There was tweets and photos coming out anytime you guys moved. There had to be some sort of conversation about the world, or did you guys say, hey, let's go ahead and disappear from the world here for a little bit and just get blacked out drunk with cigars at the Kentucky Derby? Is that the mindset?
Well, I mean, I was making a 3.5-hour drive home after, so no, I was not having anything to drink. Just full tobacco for me.
Okay. Ooh. So was there conversations had about the world that you guys are currently living
in? Yeah. So, of course, it was a social trip, and I went there very naive to what was going on around everything. I was. You made sure to remind me that, no, this is, hey, this is... Something's popping off here. Something's going on here. I'm like, oh, I thought I was just hanging out. I guess I'm not anymore.
No, yeah. No. By the way, you weren't. You weren't. And yesterday when I texted you and I said, hey, you're coming on the show. Everybody's expecting something from there. He seems... Then there's reports coming out. Charles Robinson says somebody in Aaron Rodgers' camp says that he has said it's either him or Gutekunst. Do you think anybody from his camp would be releasing
that? No, I'm stop you. That's garbage too, I think.
Okay. Wow.
I don't think... I definitely... Do not think that Aaron is out there trying to say fire Goody.
Okay.
Here we go.
Not retiring, no fire.
Okay, not retiring. He's not out there saying, hey.
And I'm not, like I said, though, for real, I'm not speaking for him. I'm just telling you what my feelings are from being around.
Yeah, your vibes, which are much better than what anybody else is talking about right now. So this is good. So there's no retirement, loves football. Not saying, do you think there's any chance that maybe they get back good, or does it feel like that is also going to be very difficult as well?
I mean, it seems like it will be difficult for sure. I would never say never with anything. I have no idea what the chances would be. But also, I think the front office probably knows, like, hey, this isn't something that just crept up on us and all of a sudden we have issues. I think it's something they know, like, wow, how did we ever let it get this far? And I've said that from both sides. Like, man, it should never have gotten to this point.
Okay, all right. Thank you, AJ.
Thank you, AJ.
Okay. And we could do this all day, but I don't want
to. Yeah, I got one as well.
Hold on. What's it about, though? We will talk about it.
It's about, you know, everything going on in the front office between if AJ had any sort of conversation with anyone up there.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, we can hear you.
There was a report about AJ possibly calling the front office, and then the front office, you know, Hawk giving his 2 cents about it.
So AJ's actually potentially.
Did AJ actually talk to Gutekunst? Can I ask?
I think
that?
You should. Yeah, okay. I think that's because they're at the end of his last question. I don't know if you heard it. He or his last answer, he said, I don't think it's good for either side. Exactly, almost like he's like, hey, let's put our swords down.
It's almost like he knows what's good for the other side as well.
Yeah, you should ask him.
Will you ask if Aaron would be mad if AJ is friends with Gutekunst?
Yeah, I
would. Okay, that is good. Hey, good luck with this question.
All right, thanks. AJ, there were some people were talking about you possibly, you know, being a voice piece to the front office. Did you have a conversation with anybody up there?
Connor, I have not had any conversations with anyone in Green Bay.
We told you. We knew.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Tony, what did you want me to ask?
No, it's over.
Okay.
Well, he said in Green Bay, so like, maybe Gutekunst wasn't in Green Bay when he called him.
Oh. Okay. Was he at the Derby too?
Why would Goody ever want to speak with me?
Well, because they think maybe you're like the let's put our swords down.
You're the all-time leading guy.
Dude,
you're the middle
man. Do not do that. I am not that guy. I never will be that guy. No one should ever call me for that. I am absolutely not the peacemaker.
All right. Hey, I want to let you know, we appreciate you sitting in the fire there for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah, I don't care. No, I'm fine with it. You know what I mean? Like, also, something that I want people to think they should know, like, it's also not about Jordan Love. It's not about drafting Jordan Love. It's not – that wasn't, like, a big pivotal moment. I don't think it's that either. It's, like, it's just things over time, I feel like, that probably tiny little things they could have done to make him be, like, a partner with them, make him feel like, hey, you have some kind of say, or we're going to keep you in the loop. And I think they probably failed to do that year after year after year, and it probably just got to this point.
You think the – by the way, I appreciate you saying that, and that feels like that is coming from a place of truth and reality there. The Jordan Love draft pick, it's not Jordan Love. It is what they chose to do with the draft pick and how they could potentially have continued to build a winner now and everything like that, right? That's kind of the thought. Like Jordan
I'm
Love
sure – Yeah, I'm sure it's that, and like also not. I don't think he knew they were drafting Jordan Love. Like that, he wasn't privy to that.
By the way, Tampa Bay Buccaneers called Tom at the last pick of the second round. Yep. They said, "Hey, this is what we're thinking." Tom, is that cool? Tom, by the way, on the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks, just like Aaron, Andy Dalton's been a Chicago Bear for four weeks.
Cup of coffee. Yeah.
And they called him and said, "Hey, man, listen, we're drafting Justin Fields. We gotta do it. We're so sorry." So you would just think that that might be a common courtesy whenever it comes to the quarterback of your fucking team, which is the face of your team, which is everything. Let alone if he's Andy Dalton. Or if he's a Mount Rushmore quarterback like Tom Brady. But I assume that's not the only thing, by the way. That just like to your point, that is just one thing in a series of events.
There's public things. There's things that he said, though, publicly, if people would have looked. I think he talked about the receiver, Jake Kumerow, who I actually played with Jake in Cincinnati. He mentioned, like, they end up cutting Jake right towards the end of training camp. And I guess, like, the day or so before, Aaron talked him up to the media, said how excited he was to have him on the team. He's going to be a great number three receiver.
Yeah.
And then he's cut the next day without Aaron's knowledge.
And Buffalo picked him up the day after.
And by the way, if you think about Gumpy, we'll get to you in one second, though. But if you think about Tom, Bruce Arians actually said, I got top two guys, but if Tom wants to pick three through five or whatever, Tom can do whatever he wants when he's talking about wide receivers. Peyton Manning. If Peyton Manning didn't want you on the field for a practice, you weren't going to be. If Peyton Manning wanted you on the field, guess what? He's actually getting you your suit to travel in, getting you the seat that you're sitting in, the hotel room you're in, and then on the field, he's actually subbing you in whenever there's things happening. That is a massive deal, I would assume, to a quarterback. So that's just, by the way, that's just another tiny little thing that happens that Aaron goes, well, what the fuck? Everybody else.
And that one, though, Pat, with that one, too, with the – I'm sure – I honestly, I'm sure it's things like that, like little things over time that build up. But with the Kumerow thing, it wasn't like, hey, oh, this guy was my friend. It was a charity case to have him on the team. Like, no, he was going to throw the ball to this dude. Like, he was counting on him.
Golly.
Well, and then the contract stuff too, obviously. You know, it's like you just wait and wait and wait and wait, and then this shit comes out. It's like, well, yeah, we'll give him whatever he wants. It's like, well, you know, you pissed him off.
I don't think it's about it. I don't think that's – I'm sure that added to it, but I don't think it's even part of it. I don't think he cares that much about that.
So the money thing is not like a main driver behind any of this, you don't think?
I don't think so, because I think that's something that's more recent. I think the stuff's been building up for a long time.
AJ, I want to let you know, we in the sports media world, hey, we appreciate you, dude.
Thank you, AJ!
Turd Ferguson looked good, though.
Oh, yeah, the hair. I don't know what that was. I didn't ask. I wasn't there that day. I don't know what that was about. I mean, I know the Turd Ferguson reference, but I'm not sure why he wore that.
It's called comedy, dude. Come on.
Thank you. Thank you for explaining that to me.
You ever heard of it, AJ?
Yeah.
Go ahead,
Jesus.
To AJ's point about Kumerow, apparently Rap Sheet just said the Packers releasing Jake Kumerow was almost immediately after Rodgers praised him, was described as a death knell in the relationship.
When did he release that tweet?
Somebody else tweeted it, that Rapsy just said it 9 minutes ago.
Oh, so it was before we said it. It was before we said it.
They fired his quarterback coach, too, who he loved, without talking to him about it.
It does seem like he doesn't get treated like...
No,
listen, just little jabs everywhere.
Listen, by the way, there's people who think Aaron is an asshole or whatever. You know, there's people that think that about him. So no matter what he does, how he does, they're going to think that whatever he's doing is an asshole move. But at the quarterback position, let's get his ass to Sunday. Who cares? Especially if you, and that's why all these other GMs and front office people who are either out of the game now or retired or head coaches that are out of the game, they all say, if you listen to them, like, man, if I had Aaron Rodgers, I would be bending over backwards to just make him happy. And it's not like – it's not like I don't think he's asking for anybody to bend over backwards, but I just think it's a very known thing in high-level football. In the NFL, it's like, yo, let's make the goddamn quarterback happy. If it's a new workout that he wants to do in the weight room, let's do it. Hey, if he wants different food, let's do it. But maybe some other OGs too, but the quarterback position is so vital. And if you got a guy, who cares? Let's just get to Sunday. We got a chance to win every game. It's not like that everywhere.
Well, and that's why, like, you look around the league, I'm sure Connor would be the first to tell you, like, you can't let that guy leave the building. Because Guess what? If he leaves and goes somewhere else next year and wins a Super Bowl in his first year, like,
look at the Colts.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a nightmare scenario, and you can't let it get to that point. You're still just in a state of shock that it has gotten to that point.
AJ, how much pressure did you feel coming onto the show today?
None. I didn't feel any pressure.
Wow.
Ice in his
veins. What pressure do I, like, okay. I just don't understand the pressure I'd be under.
Well, you were in that photo. So yeah, everything you say, everybody's like, oh, this is Aaron speaking.
The hand thing. I love that that's like become a thing.
Well, I mean, look
at it. What is it, by the way? How'd that start? You just look like a stooge in one photo and they didn't know, so you just kept doing it?
No, I mean, it goes back years. I think I did it in a picture while we were at the Derby years ago to make fun of somebody. And then I think I told Aaron it was an Illuminati signal. And then I did it for a couple more years. And then I thought it was played out. And then they started asking me to do it. Now they do it. So now it's like I'm forced to do it. He's like, come on, man. I'm like, all right, I thought this was over.
Do you guys just refer to it as the Illuminati?
No. It started first. I was making fun of somebody for having an alligator arms trying to catch a ball. Okay? And then it went from there.
You guys are the best.
Awesome.
He's everything he does gets talked about, speculated. Everything he does. This is obviously an absolute firestorm because it's him wanting to go somewhere else. I thought early everybody was on Aaron's side. Then the NFL and Günther Kuntz and them did their best to get their side out. I feel like some Packers fans have gotten upset with Aaron through this entire thing. I want to let you know there's 28 other teams that are like, come on in, the water is fine. This is a tough thing, I'd assume, for Packers fans to go through, but every other team in the NFL is very excited about the potential here. If he goes to Patrick Mahomes' division, and I'm not saying he will, but Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes two times a year is going to be fucking awesome.
Prime time.
That'd be awesome, AJ.
Hey, you know what's funny is I got texts from multiple friends and acquaintances in the league that no GMs, but people that work in front offices that are like, hey, tell Aaron if he wants to come here, he can do whatever. He has full say in everything.
I got a couple of those messages as well. Yep. And I don't know what the rules are to let him know on who's saying that. But that's why I think it's so fascinating to hear, you know, like bloggers potentially and journalists cover who's feeling what. And then like other NFL people that are in positions that are like, hey, listen.
Let him know.
Hey, if he wants a player on the team, we fucking whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Put him at guard if he did. Shit. Whatever the hell he wants. It is so important to have that guy. Now, with these young quarterbacks, AJ, Justin Fields, the Chicago Bears are getting heralded as having an incredible draft this past weekend because they pick up Justin Fields.
Bears fucking God.
Some other weapons up there, okay? Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace really going all in, trading some stuff to make a move. The Chicago Bears are only posting Justin Fields all over their Instagram. They're saying, hey, listen, we got a guy. AJ, Justin Fields goes in there and wins. He's a hero forever. If he doesn't, are the Bears fans going to turn on him because of how much hype there is right now?
Oh,
no.
We'll see. Well, no, because if he doesn't play well, then the coaching staff will be fired and he'll get another chance, a fresh start with whoever comes in.
Hell yeah.
Hopefully it's a fresh start.
Okay, is that your dream, Z?
Zito, you hoping Ryan Day gets called from Ohio State?
That's actually a good point. I like that.
Not a bad idea.
Seems like we started
clip
here.
That. Yep. Clip that. Save that for when that happens. I don't know when it will take place, but probably
next year.
Next year, probably.
What if Justin Fields comes in balls, though?
He might. Incredible.
With Aaron getting out of the division, potentially, the Chicago Bears being the face of the NFC North.
So we all agree that Justin Fields will start game one?
Yeah, because I guess now they're saying Andy Dalton is still our starter. I think everything is dependent upon how quickly you learn the offense, which, by the way, if the Dr. Goldman standard test has anything to do with anything, he's going to be able to pick up the offense quickly. Then it's like, at what point do you want to put him in? I'm a big fan, and history has shown us that if a guy sits, He has a much better likely outcome that he's going to do well if he sits and gets a chance to watch a starter not only play, not only practice, but handle themselves in the building and understand what's going on potentially now that you are the quarterback of a team. I like a player sitting and learning at that position. Now, with that being said, I'm also a guy who, if Justin Fields is the fucking guy, put him out there. Andrew Luck is the guy, put him out there. Justin Herbert sat for a little bit, put him out there. It depends on the situation. Situations are situational, but if he could sit behind Andy Dalton and learn a bit and they have success, I think that is best case scenario for everybody.
Don't you think there's a good chance that, sitting here right now, that maybe Andy Dalton starts the season, and if Andy can find a way to win and they're playing well, then you keep Andy and you let him sit for a little bit. But if then things start to turn and don't go so well, you can plug Justin Fields in and you may be able to save yourself a season if you show a bunch of hope with whatever Justin Fields can do if he plays well.
Aside from them calling Andy Dalton to let him know that they're trading to get Justin Fields and Justin and Andy Dalton being like, yeah, don't you worry about that. Andy Dalton might be the perfect one of the most perfect quarterbacks. Now, Fitzmagic, people say, and there's other OGs or whatever, but Andy Dalton might be a really good guy to learn under. He's seen what it's like in Cincy. He's been to Dallas. Now he's in Chicago. He's won. He's gotten to playoffs with teams that probably shouldn't get to the playoffs. I mean, he is, and I don't mean the talent on the roster. I'm talking about the organization in Cincinnati. So it's just, I think he's a really good guy to potentially learn under. It might be best case scenario, but then if he has any struggles at all, there's going to be people calling for Justin Fields immediately.
Wouldn't you think of Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Mac Jones, and this is big if Jimmy G does end up being on the roster for the Niners at the beginning of the season, that Fields has the best chance of playing before the other two?
So you're taking, that's a big shot at Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
I don't know. You have that much confidence
in Ricochet, Jimmy G, I guess.
But I mean, big shot in Andy Dalton there. What were you going to ask about the confidence in Jimmy G?
Yeah, I was saying, Diggs must have a bunch of confidence in Jimmy G, right?
Well, the last time he played, he went to the Super Bowl, so.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, right, is he doesn't play all the time.
But now he knows, too. It's either going to make him excel to the next level or it's going to be tough when you know you have that guy sitting right behind you that's ready to become the next franchise QB.
With that face, though, you're always confident. I think he's confident. He's not going to crumble.
You think Jimmy G's very confident?
Yeah.
I would assume as well, by the way.
I like Jimmy G. I think he'll play well.
I like Jimmy G as well, and I think he has had a lot of success. But with hearing Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch say, yeah, but when he gets hurt, we suck. I can understand why they brought him in. Trey Lance, the story of Trey Lance is going to be a cool one.
Oh, yeah.
If he goes on to be good, the story that we're going to have to tell is a guy we had never heard of, a guy we had no idea skyrockets up the board, gets picked over the two national champion quarterbacks. I mean, it's a wild story there. It is a wild
story. And games did he play this last season?
One.
Showcase game. I think he threw the ball like four times.
Man.
Crazy.
Wonder what a non-COVID year would have looked like. Would it have been any different?
I think he would have played.
I would have won a national championship.
Yeah. I mean, the draft. No, I mean, would it have changed the draft order?
Maybe at two.
He might have went at two, yeah.
Yeah, he might have won higher. Old Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. Zach Wilson, what is going to happen with him?
Man.
Wow. That is a experiment.
If Justin Fields ends up being a guy, too, and Zach Wilson isn't, I mean.
In New York. He sent a little baby plane to pick up Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if anybody saw that.
Huh, really?
I did.
Anybody saw that? Jim Irsay sent a 727 to pick up Quitty.
They're letting him know, hey, you got to earn this.
Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, you got to perform first, and then we'll send you the big plane.
I guess.
Wonder if Shad was using the big one.
No, he was there. He met him when he got there. his mustache looked perfect. He had some Jaguars sweats.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. Trevor Lawrence got off a tiny little plane.
He did look big walking off that plane.
That was a tiny plane.
I mean, it was probably a short trip. True. Why waste the big one?
True. Why not?
Why not? Because
he's the face of your franchise.
Why not? It's a short.
Maybe. I bet you Trevor Lawrence is such a good guy. He's like, you know what? That's worse for the environment. Send the small jet.
Ooh. Yes, they're both. Yeah, all right. Okay. So sorry to interrupt, but the sport of business means demanding excellence from your craft and wardrobe. Your fits need to be versatile, blending timeless style and comfort so you look as good as you feel. For that, there's Cuts Clothing.
Oh, love Cuts.
Take a plain tee, but make it Tony Stark. The bleeding edge of fabric technology meets the man confident enough to wear it Cuts Clothing. In 2016, Cuts founder Steve Borelli set out to create clothes ready for every occasion the modern man faces. He started by reinventing the t-shirt. The end result? Well, that's what GQ magazine calls the only shirt worth wearing.
Wow. Ever heard of GQ?
Ever heard of them?
Ever heard of them?
They said it's the only shirt worth wearing. The signature buttery soft Pika Pro Tri-Blend Tee. It's a bold new take on a classic design combining the ultimate blend of high quality cotton, polyester, and spandex. The perfect t-shirt? Accomplished. Next, Cuts set out to create a fabric uniquely engineered for each clothing style. Consider the new Cuts hoodie, where they developed Hyperloop French Terry fabric, a textile that's temperature controlled and ageless.
Sounds perfect.
You'll never need to take it off, and you certainly won't want to. It's not just a lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business.
That's huge.
Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Pat. That's CUTSCLOTHING.com/PAT for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing.
Sold.
It's unbelievable. Buy to size up. Let's get back to this entire thing. AJ Hawk sitting next to me, obviously legendary Green Bay Packer. And friend of Aaron Rodgers. Last hour, a lot of the things he said have started circulating the internet about his friend and Kentucky Derby compadre Aaron Rodgers. AJ, a lot of people saying thanks for coming out and speaking the truth.
Thank you, AJ.
That's what they're saying, AJ. They're saying thank you, AJ, for coming out and speaking some sense into this whole thing, because there's sources coming from everywhere on this story, AJ. Sources everywhere, dude.
Well, I mean, I'm not proclaiming like I know everything or I know what's happening. Like, I'm as confused as everybody else, I think.
Okay, but.
But.
With that being said.
But not as confused as a lot, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. And in some ways, maybe still very confused. Because like I said, I have no idea how this ends up. I don't know what the conclusion is.
Turd Ferguson and AJ Hawk this weekend. Did chat, but not enough for you to know what the end of this whole thing is. I respect it. I appreciate it. AJ, thank you for your information.
Thank you.
As an entire sports media, we appreciate you. It's going to be talked about tomorrow. It's going to be talked about forever. And I think the thing about that type of situation is, no matter how this ends, it's going to end wrong for somebody. He goes somewhere else, he gets traded away, and they're like, well, he kind of forced their cards. He wins and has a good time somewhere else. It's not even going to be remembered about how it happens. It's just going to remember when the Green Bay Packers messed that entire thing up there. And if he stays, it's like, well, remember they were able to reconcile.
Yep.
It's a wild, fascinating world in the NFL, especially whenever you're talking about a Mount Rushmore-like quarterback. Joining us now is a man who has had a few of those work for him. Ladies and gentlemen, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts and the founder of Kicking the Stigma, a campaign that hopes to make mental health illness a lot more respected and appreciated, as opposed to something that's kind of cast down upon. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Irsay. Yeah! How are you, boss?
Hey, what's going on, Patrick?
I don't know if you know that.
Happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you, boss. I appreciate that. AJ Hawk is here as well, legendary Green Bay Packer. He's sitting on the other side there.
How you doing, Mr. Irsay? Thank you for coming on.
I love guys who get... who got after guys on that football field, particularly up in Green Bay. That's some classic football gridiron there.
Hey, Jim, I think that's what people don't fully understand about you. And we'll talk about Kicking the Stigma, which begins this evening, by the way. Very cool that you're getting involved in that. I'm thankful, especially with where we are in the world, we need that. But I don't think people understand. You're a football guy. Like, you are a football guy. You played. You've been in the equipment room. You tell that story. The coaching, the general manager, I think, in your 30s, the owner. You love football. I don't think that ever gets talked about enough, your depth knowledge. Have you been involved with Chris Ballard with decision-making and stuff like that? And how much of an input do you have on the team in decisions that are made?
Well, it's a blessing to start from 11 years old, getting paid $5 a week, picking up jock straps in the locker room to do every job in the organization, and general manager at 24 and owner at 35. It's come fast, but I've really enjoyed getting to know every role in the organization. So when it comes to Chris Ballard, I really try to do anything I can to help him at many times when decisions are about to be made. Has he thought everything through? Has he really looked at everything? But in the end, I also respect that it's got to be his call because he's the one who's the expert and has done all the work.
Mr. Erzat, what was it like being 35 years old and owning an NFL team?
Well, I tell you, it all has come on quickly. I think I addressed the team first time when I was 16 years old in Detroit and in the old Silverdome when my dad fired another coach in preseason. So it was interesting growing up with him, and he had great intentions and he wanted to win. It just didn't turn out that way all the time. But it was really a blessing to start that young. But you looked at people like Pete Rozelle, who was commissioner at 33, George Halas, who was player, owner, coach in his 20s. So I looked at it as a challenge, and I've always liked challenges.
Jim, Mr. Irsay, sorry, I am nowhere near at the level to call you Jim, so I apologize. No,
look at, I mean, my friends call me Jim. You can call me Jimmy.
Hey, yeah! Jimmy from the Colts. Jimmy from the Colts.
I mean, that's a line from Stripes, brother. Don't you remember?
Brother, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry, Jim. Whenever you get a team at the age of 35 and you kind of grow up in it, I assume the plan all along was for the NFL to be the biggest league in the world. Right now, you guys just got out of signing an 11-year, $110 billion rights deal that I think is changing daily now that Amazon is taking over Thursday Night Football next year as opposed to in 2023. What do you think it was? Is it the game? Is it the coverage of the game? At what point, since you've been around for so long, do you think really the NFL and football blew up? It's massive. Ratings are going down everywhere. The NFL continues to go up. How? At what point did you kind of realize that, and where do you guys try to go from here?
Well, you're right, Pat. It really, in most classes you take in economics and business management, the first rule of thumb is diversification and be concerned about how much you have invested in one area in case that doesn't go well. But with the NFL, ever since the Colts-Giants game and 58-59, when TV became a big factor, Pete Rozelle became commissioner in 1960, television just went hand in hand with the NFL to really make us the premier league in the world. And so it's been remarkable to see through the decades, through the 70s and 80s and 90s and there beyond, where you're in the room and a new TV contract comes in or new developments come in. So it's been really a blessing. But one thing you're taught by the guys who founded the game is take care of the game. Don't reach for every dollar you can. Protect the game. Make sure that the game is being treated the right way and the fans are, because really that's all you have in the end. And it just happens to be the greatest game for television, for the lack of a better word. And that's really helped our growth.
What is it like when you get together with the other owners? I just wonder if you have like this healthy competitive attitude with them. And when you're making moves and, you know, you guys bring in Carson Wentz and you do all this, are you thinking like, hey, I'm going to beat my buddy who owns this team or that team? Like, do you think about that?
Well, it's interesting, AJ. It was so fun to be around the other owners in the 70s and 80s and be in owners' meetings throughout the 80s. It was a colorful crew. I mean, guys would come in, leave the bar, a few of them after a few martinis, and it would get very, very interesting and heated sometimes in those old owners' meetings. And I just remember the Jack Ken Cooks and Joe Robbies and so many guys before me And I just observed him as a young man, and you learn from him. I remember when I was 23 years old, and Jack and Cook pulled me aside and said, "Son, just remember, it's not always what you earn; it's what you don't lose." And that always, you know, stayed with me. Little nuggets of wisdom that they pass on through the years. And I was so blessed because George Halas was at my wedding. I mean, that would be like Biden saying, "Well, George Washington was at my wedding." You know, I mean, here I am walking down the aisle, and the founder of the league, who was in that Humpmobile showroom in 1920, was at my wedding in a wheelchair. My dad was good friends with them. So it was such a privilege to know these greats. I remember Art Rooney Sr. Gave me a cigar at a meeting in Palm Springs in 1981. And to see these legends that were still alive was such a blessing for me. This being my 50th year this year.
Hey, let's go! Congrats on 50 good ones, boss. Man, that's awesome.
Thank you, Pat.
No problem. Okay, boss, whenever you become, you know, the owner of a team in your 30s, and, you know, for you, I mean, you used to move weight, too. I mean, you used to move weight. You love music. You know, you're an incredible musician and lover of your, the friends that you have made over this life. I assume that that is something you have to be absolutely mythified by, because whenever you and I chatted, whenever I was going to retire, you dropped so much knowledge on me in this hour and a half, and you were quoting people that you were friends with. You know, my old friend, blah, blah, insert name of Beatles here. And then another member is like, who has been somebody that has been very important that is not from the sports world that you rely heavily upon, maybe in decision making and kind of through life and everything like that?
Well, it's interesting. I picked up things from everyone, even nemesises or maybe adversaries, if you will, that I didn't agree with 95% of the time. But if they had some wisdom in that 5% of the time, I'm stealing that. You know, plagiarism is the way to success. Look at how other people do it. You take a little bit of it, stash it in your back pocket, and you keep going, you know. And so it's amazing. So many people had such an influence on me. I mean, Al Davis had a huge influence on me. He was so brilliant. But, you know, there he was suing his partners. So there was this dynamic that kind of I was torn with, because, you know, it's difficult when you have that dynamic and see what happened in the 80s and what it did to Roselle and those things. But Al was brilliant. Tex Schramm, Paul Brown, to have a chance to talk football with Paul Brown, the guy who really invented classroom teaching in football. It's just incredible to have had to be around those guys, Don Shula. And it's such a privilege to have known and worked with those guys at a young age. And so, you know, when you become owner, it's a interesting thing, because a lot of people wonder, because my dad, you know, we were arguing about a raise, I think, for myself at the time that he got sick and passed away. And, I mean, I had a bloated visa bill and a house payment and everything. And then, so I went from, you know, that to owner. And everyone wonders, you know, what's it like when you have billions of dollars and, you know, I mean, you don't go in your basement. There's not like, you know, gold bullion sitting there. You know, it's just like you call this person and you say, "Will you transfer, you know, $80 million? Okay. And then on your screen, it disappears. I mean, you never see the money. I mean, I don't even know it's there. I mean, you know, people think, you know, that you have some big trade of, you know, gold somewhere. It's like, no. It's just like, tell me it's there. So I said I can go pick up that plane. So
Hey, boss, my favorite time, and I don't know if you're still doing it or not. I haven't seen you out and about at any events, because I haven't gone or whatever. But there came a time where every time you went in public, you were just handing out hundreds to people. It was electric. I loved everything about it. You come to training camp, we'd have, you know, a boss's golf cart would show up, and there would be an instant buzz around the entire city of Anderson. They're like, Ursay's here, boss man's here. And everybody knew exactly what that meant. Okay, he's about to give out probably maybe $30,000 tonight, just hundreds to everybody. It was, you've always been so gracious with your money. Now, obviously, you feel as if you have to because of the blessings you receive, but you've always been very, very giving with your money. That's a very cool thing, and I don't think a lot of people who sit in your seat act that way. So I've always been very grateful for the way you act.
Well, thanks, Pat. My grandparents came across Ellis Island with just the shirt on their back. Poor immigrants with nothing. You know, my grandmother raised five kids in the inner city of Chicago, and she was a maid and couldn't even speak English, immigrant from Poland. And so I've learned that you know, I know what it's like being without. I mean, I remember working construction in Chicago, doing demolition, and my dad got me a fake union card, and he said, you're going to work this summer, you're going to work in the city demolition. So I'd be there, you know, in my hard hat, half an hour for lunch, and I wish I would have came by and given me $100. I needed it, you know. And so, like, with housekeeping, for instance, I always, first of all, leave several hundred dollars for housekeepers every time on the pillow, but more importantly, write a note to say, I see you. God sees the work you do. Your hard labors do not go without being recognized. And thank you for making this world and this country what it is, because that's the backbone of what we are.
Yeah.
And you have to get them one at a time and try to help anything in any way you can, one at a time. And a lot of times, I mean, I've shut down a lot of Girls Scout, you know, donations, things by the side of the road, you know, hey, here's $2,000. We're going home, you know.
That's awesome.
Everyone should all the Girl Scouts just set up on the path from your house to the facility. They just want to make sure they catch you.
Way more than $2,000 to watch the smiles and them dancing in the parking lot saying, you know, we're going home now. We got our quota for the next year. So it's a lot of fun.
What are you doing?
So I know just, tonight. You know, just treat others like you want to be treated. And we all play that role in life where sometimes we're the pauper. Sometimes we have, you know, ripped pants and dirt on us and we're working hard. Other times, you know, we're in a position of kingsmanship or something. And I don't take either role very seriously. I mean, for me, it's dust to dust, and I'm humble with all the blessings God's given me, because I know, in my mind, the term self-made man is a very spiritually arrogant term, because there is no self-made man or woman. You know, the good Lord looks after us and blesses what direction we end up going in, and we just hope to have the right energy going forward. To earn the right karma, if you will, to succeed.
Amen. We appreciate that mindset, obviously. And I think AJ was going to talk about this. Tonight starts a very big couple days here. What made you want to kind of dive into this Kicking the Stigma campaign, and what can people look forward to? I think Carson Daly is holding a council. Darius Leonard's going to be there, amongst many others. I know Kalen was involved in this. Whenever I saw the commercial and I saw you on there, I was so incredibly pumped for you, because I know that a lot of people are going to listen. How did you decide to get into this, and what are you expecting out of it?
Well, I've realized through my own experiences and through observing life, there's kind of, you know, two different instances that sometimes happen. Sometimes guys will get liquored up and go swimming in the Broad Ripple Canal. So it's wreck traffic in their underwear. Now, Pink Floyd calls that a momentary lapse of reason.
Okay? Momentary lapse of reason. That's all.
But then you have other issues that run more seriously. And that's the ones that we really aim at, because Mental illness and all that surrounds it is so important in this country, in this world at this point, to try to have an outreach to help. And when you think about how hard it is just to overcome a physical illness, if you have cancer, for instance, what Chuck Pagano went through, but imagine if that person feels guilty because they have the disease and is afraid to seek help and feels they won't get their insurance company to help or feels that authorities are going to seek them out because they have a disease and they need help. I mean, all these things make it so difficult for people to get well. So we're just here to take that stigma away and create an environment of wellness and make it easier for people. And it's still very hard, but to make it easier if we can.
Well, I appreciate you doing that. That's massive. The panel will air tonight on Colts.com/KTS, Kicking the Stigma. Carson Daly, Darius Leonard, Hayden Hurst, Solomon Thomas, Darren Waller, among others. There will also be content from Mr. Irsay, Chris Ballard, Frank Wright, and online auctioned memorabilia that is signed in experiences. Raised funds will go toward a new Kicking the Stigma fund, which will support expanded programming by Mental Health America, Indiana. Name, Pat, yes, sir.
Pat, you just, you know, right here, just Project Healthy Minds.
Yep.
Bringing change to minds.
Yep.
Mental Health America and National Alliance on Mental Illness. That's all some of the main organizations we're working with. And at Colts.com/KTS, you can find out more, contribute, and be part of this great effort.
That's what I'm talking about, boss! Hey, I can't wait to watch that. I appreciate you for your time. I would be remiss if I didn't ask. Your music collection, your guitars, drums, everything like that, is very widely known about. What's your favorite piece you have, and what is potentially next for you to purchase to bring that museum together even more?
Well, I'd say probably John Lennon's piano, the one that he wrote so many great songs like Sgt. Pepper's, the whole album, and Imagine. It's just staggering to look at this piece of history that sits there. And the music means so much because when you mention that, Pat, for instance, that helps people with mental health issues. But let me say this before we end. Thank you, Pat McAfee, for your humor and what you bring to this world, because you change and make this world better. Help people that have serious problems, depression, etc., by bringing, I mean, humor is the bridge to sanity. And you do great work without even realizing it with your show, with your humor. People look so forward to hearing you, and laughing is one of the best remedies to mental illness that there is. So thank you, seriously, bro.
No, that was awesome. No, that was very cool. Thank you so much. You're the best, Mr. Irsay. Ladies and gentlemen, go to Colts.com/KTS to help them, watch them, learn some, and ultimately, hopefully, feel like you're not alone. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Irsay. Thank you.
Thanks, JJ.
You're the best.
Thanks, guy.
He's the best. That was
awesome. Good guy.
Incredible. Yeah. Hey, Jay, you ever talked to that man before?
Never have, man. That was awesome. I love how he ended it. It's very true what he said about you, but so cool for a guy like that to say it.
Too. Yeah, it was very nice. I mean, I obviously look up to Mr. Irsay a lot. I mean, he is the reason why all this even started or whatever, but he always had an interesting, I think a narrative about him was always interesting because he had battled some demons in the past, you know, and it feels like, by the way, talking to him there, it feels like we're in a great spot, which is awesome news. Congrats on that. But I like that he's giving back. And every time I got a chance to chat with him, you know, after that alleged event that he potentially mentioned in there. After that alleged event, he would come talk to me every single practice he came. So I feel like I got a chance to really chat with him. And obviously now people know me. So the questions I would ask, I feel like I got to learn a lot about him. And I'm very lucky. And he's a cool dude. And he will do whatever to win. You know, he is the type of guy who will do whatever to win. Can I transfer $80 million? I've never seen it.
Yeah.
He's the best.
They tell me it's there.
Oh my God!
Dog Peyton behind him too.
Yeah,
that was hilarious.
He in the chair. I don't know what he's. I hope that's where he makes decisions. Kicking the Stigma, awesome campaign. There was a real song on the back of that commercial whenever they launched the Kicking the Stigma. It was like a
Everybody Hurts, I think.
Yeah, everybody. Sometimes.
Yes. Everybody Hurts.
So as soon as I was like, oh shit, they had to pay a lot of money to get this, right? If they're doing this a national commercial. So I called and I was like, you guys paid for that song? And they're like, no, Jim's friends with it. He just said, oh yeah, of course. What am I even thinking? He's a good dude, man.
How much do you think that John Lennon piano, how much did he buy it for?
Dude, he also has Nixon's resignation letter.
Yep.
Oh, jeez. Doesn't he have a couple of guitars?
Dude, he has vaults.
Does he have a museum or something?
Yeah.
Hopefully at some point he'll display it for everyone to see, right?
He has a Colts museum, and then he also has another museum, I do believe.
On the Colts website, they show like all the things. He has like a signed Campbell tomato soup by Andy Warhol. He has like the first Jerry Maguire like script. Like, it's insane.
And he has these in places that are like unburnable. Yeah. Unpenetrable. Mm-hmm. Like, he has numerous of these things around there.
There's an article about Indianapolis Colts owner buying John Lennon's piano, and it was estimated between $800,000 and $1.2 million.
AJ, get that.
I thought if you would have told me $20 million, I would have said okay.
Me too. Especially with what some of that art goes for.
Yeah, it's probably going up.
Shout out to Jim Irsay.
Hey, humor is the bridge to sanity. Yeah. What a line.
There's a lot. By the way, we go back. He probably dropped like four or five of those.
Yeah.
But people won't even listen because the delivery is how it is. It's like, no, you got to listen to the fucking guy now. Hey, listen to the guy now. He's the best. So sorry to interrupt, but I want to let you know that if you're not gambling with FanDuel, you're wrong. Okay, FanDuel Sportsbook is available in seven states, I believe, at this point. Six, seven, eight. You get it. If you're not gambling with FanDuel Sportsbook, though, you're completely wrong. And if we're not in your state yet, we are coming to your state. We have better odds. We have a much easier to use app. The convenience is next level. The people at FanDuel actually refund people when they shouldn't refund people, giving back hundreds of millions and millions of dollars to their users. FanDuel Sportsbook is the best sportsbook going for a lot of reasons, most of them what I just said. We are very thankful for our partnership with FanDuel, obviously. There are so many different ways to win. There's more things to bet on. Their boosts seem to always hit, which is just fucking themselves over time and time again. We love the hell out of FanDuel Sportsbook, and you will too. If you haven't used it yet, use it now. Also, there's fantasy on there, daily fantasy, and free-to-play games where you can win money. Shout out to FanDuel. Shout out to you. Let's get back to the show. A lot of people talking about what you were talking about with Aaron Rodgers, AJ Hawk. A lot of people talking that you actually said there's no chance of him retiring. That is hitting, obviously.
Is somebody having a birthday?
Oh! What is this guy doing?
A party hat for the birthday boy.
Rementary.
Oh,
thank you.
It's a clam. It goes with your hair.
Shake his hand, Pat.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Hey, give him a hug. Give him a hug.
I'm a Viking. I'm a Viking. Yeah. Thank you. What's your name?
Bongo.
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 Hey, I hit the bongo too, Pat. What do you do? Any tricks, or you're just a balloon?
I have a special message for you.
Okay.
Let it out.
Oh, happy birthday to you.
Come on.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. All right.
Happy birthday.
Oh, shit. Bongo! Bongo!
Happy, happy.
Oh, Bongo.
Who was this? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Bongo. Thank you.
Now you give him a hug. He's tested. Give him a hug, sir.
Thank you, Bongo.
Bongo.
Thank you, Bongo. Got to put on a hat there. Yep. Thanks. Thank you, Bongo.
Thank you, Bongo.
All right. Who did it? Who?
Hey, don't look at me. No.
Don't look at me.
Hands up. Hands up.
Who did it? AJ. AJ. Was that you?
Happy birthday, bud.
Oh, I hate you.
That was not me.
I hate you.
Not me. Trust me. Not me, I promise.
I couldn't even pronounce my name right.
Fucking Clown.
By the way, I thought it was potentially Rabbit.
That was my first.
Big Trick Energy coming back.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Literally, that's as soon as I saw it, I was like, because I saw the jawline, I was like, is that?
That's the Rabbit.
Is that the Rabbit?
Holy shit, the Rabbit.
It's probably the Rabbit.
All timer.
I died because who was in the Rabbit? If the Rabbit, the person in the Rabbit was that clown right there? Oh my God. Thank you to whoever sent that to me and had him pronounce my name wrong.
Thank you. Did he say McAfee or what?
Yeah.
He did.
I got to deal with this clown blowing COVID through my fucking hair.
Good Lord.
And then he's going to pronounce my name wrong. Thanks for that. It was probably Billy Tubes, huh?
It might have been Billy Tubes.
I mean, I don't know. Someone back he there moved. You know, could step up and
declare. Hey, didn't John Wayne Gacy was in the clown, so it was definitely Billy Tubes.
Bongo did not deserve what you just did to him.
No.
Bongo. He had a pretty good voice, huh?
Yeah.
He
was good.
He carried that.
The horn was
old. Fucking Mickey Mouse. Yeah. He needed some WD-40.
I think Bongo can hear this right outside.
Well, he's
Bongo, get a new horn, dude.
How much we pay? We don't know if he can afford a new goddamn horn. We do not. If that's Billy Tubes, Bongo's not getting a tip for what he did either. Well,
you should see the car he came in.
Oh, so this was Zito.
Was it the clown car? Not me. Supposedly it was a clown car that came in the front.
Well, if he came in a car, sell the damn car for a new horn then. God damn it.
The performance is more vital than the transportation, but the clown car is pretty important as well. Big thank you to whoever did that. I appreciate it. The birthday was yesterday and he said my name wrong, so I mean, you gotta, thank you, AJ.
Thank you, AJ.
What is that, $50? $100? How much does that cost?
Nah, Bongo ain't getting out of bed for less than $250.
Probably right.
Look at that. I mean, that's an impressive flu.
He's a good fucking guy.
Hulk good Hogan. Boa.
Let me tell you something, brother. I'm sure Bongo's a nice guy, but ever since that John Wayne Gacy talk.
Yeah. I've always been scared of clowns.
Look out for
a few years ago when clowns were just hanging out in the woods with knives.
Yeah, let's not bring that back.
Well, Waterloo, Iowa,
That's right.
Got ruined because John Wayne Gacy, and I do believe clowning as a whole also got. That's what it's called.
Yeah, clowning.
John Wayne Gacy said, the word clowning's kind of got run through the mud or whatever. It's like, well, one clown had 32 bodies below his house.
Yeah.
He was clowning around too.
He was clowning around. Did we take a break? We did.
We did, yes.
Why'd you send that clown?
Just the logistics of trying to do that, I would never be able to from here. It has to be an inside job. Someone's in there.
What if that was like Tim McAfee?
Jeez.
Oh. Could have been.
Maybe.
Maybe Brian got so doped up that he.
Yeah, you guys were all up in Michigan.
Oh, wow. We should get a clown.
And by the way, you saw the name Bongo. Oh, Bongo.
Was it Mitt then?
Oh, this is Mitt, potentially. Let's get some phone calls. Let's go to Scott in Atlanta. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, what's up, Ed?
Hey, just hanging out, man. If it was somebody from Atlanta that scheduled that clown, it would be Snowgo.
Yeah. I was going to say, you get a bag of blow coming with it.
Running in Atlanta. I don't know if that's how Atlanta wants to be marketed, but Scott, what do you want to talk about, pal?
Yeah, so I also got to say that if anybody was coming from Atlanta, I don't think they'd be able to get out of here. We're getting pissed on right now.
Whoa.
Oh, you're talking about storms? Yeah, it's raining up here, too. Not actually.
Someone did say there was a tornado warning in Atlanta this morning.
And Charlotte.
Oh, really? Hey, T's and P's down there. I did not know that was happening. That is a scary feeling. I had never felt it growing up till I got to Indiana. And you're just looking at the sky, hoping it's not you. There's literally nothing else you can do down there. T's and P's to everybody who's potentially in the tornado's path at this point. Is that you, Scott?
Yeah, I passed by me this morning. I mean,
say hello.
It sounded like Zeus was slamming some Taco Bell earlier or something because it was just rumbling, stumbling. But we're making it through.
What do you want to talk about?
All right, so I'm a bit worried about Mac Jones going to the Patriots because since Adam Gase was fired from coaching the Jets, the only job that we've potentially heard he's up for in the future is as the Patriots QB coach. Past QB coach this past season, left the coach at Arizona, and we have no coach announced for that spot yet.
Wow.
And the only name mentioned for that spot so far has been Gase's offensive assistant. So, ipso facto, same deal. I'm not sure if Matt was right to move or not yet. We'll see, I guess.
Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
go on with your point, AJ. His son, Bongo, does tie a good balloon.
Wait, so the caller was worried that Mac Jones doesn't have a quarterback coach in place, but don't you think Josh McDaniels is going to kind of take him under his wing early on?
And Ernie's playing one more year, right?
Yeah.
Last one.
He was worried that Gase may end up being the quarterback coach.
If Gase does, though, like if Gase goes to and coaches with Belichick, guess what? He's going to revive his career and he's going to be a head coach in like two more years.
Bingo. Yep. Just like what they do down in Alabama.
Yeah.
It was great to see the greatest fourth quarter coach of all time back as a special assistant to Bill Belichick.
Yeah. He didn't have to give the okay that he was on board. Bill actually goes, Matt, you okay with this? Matt goes, yep.
He was.
I've seen good quarterbacks. Remember Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford. You guys have stinky ones up here.
Well,
that is what he said.
You never know.
Why are you taking it apart, man? That was a gift.
What's that, Bob?
Why are you taking that apart? It's a gift from Bongo.
Yeah, but I know how to make a camel.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It would be a cool thing for me to.
Yeah.
I'm being completely honest. I didn't know that you could take apart balloon.
That's what I'm trying to do here.
Uh-huh.
Just trying to let everybody know what you can do with said thing whenever you get it. You can take that some bitch.
Tied. They were fucking tied.
No. The good news about these balloons is they're actually
flexible.
You know, they move.
Pliable.
You can stretch.
Yeah, you have good
malleable. Pliable.
TB12, these balloons. Uh-huh. Right on. Who was it? Who did it?
I think we shouldn't, Pat, let's not get too excited until you actually have a finished product and there is a camel that we can see.
I mean, I've already taken away a goddamn Viking.
Yeah, it feels like he's challenging
you that far.
Did you not see this?
Can't wait. Can't wait to see the final product, bud.
The camel?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Call me Thursday when it's done.
Maybe by then you'll have some fucking answers on what Aaron's doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's me. I'm that guy. I'm here for you.
Anyways, before Bongo got involved in our entire show,
yeah,
a lot of people are reacting to your reactions to the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make one more thing, you know, clear or not. Is Aaron Rodgers going to be a Green Bay Packer or what?
Yeah. Come on, AJ.
Here we go.
Is he going? Oh, no. What do you? Well, how's this thing end? When's it end? Does it end? Is it going to end?
I have no idea. I don't think anybody involved has any clue. I honestly don't. I don't know what needs to be done to mend any kind of things happening. But yeah, right now it's not looking good. It's an uphill battle, definitely for Green Bay. I think to try to get him back.
But what's your sense? Huh? What's your sense of what's going on here?
Yeah, what's your Hawkeye feel? You know what I mean? Your Hawkeye.
My sense is that I like LaFleur. Didn't LaFleur even say, like, I don't even want to take my mind there to what it would be like if Aaron's not here?
Yeah.
I think that's where I'm at, where I'm like, no. I know firsthand how unbelievable this dude is. I cannot imagine him not being in Green Bay. But right now, it's all up in the air. Honestly, I have no clue.
Yeah, but when you just said it there, you didn't look nearly as sad as LaFleur did. So we should definitely dive into a little bit more and everything like that.
I have a lot more power in the decision than LaFleur has right now, don't I?
Well, some you might. Say, that's might. I mean,
well, so that might be a part of the problem. Right?
Oh, ooh, yeah.
That might be a part of the problem, what? Maybe. What's that?
What? What's the problem?
Well, remember, LaFleur even went to bat, I guess, for Will Fuller in the middle of the year last year during trade, and that just kind of got pushed aside. So you saying that you have, as a joke, you said, I got more power in this thing than LaFleur does, as a joke. That might be true. You actually might, because remember, there was that thing going around that Gutekunst called AJ and said, how do we make this thing right? So
that was not going around ever. That was from you.
No. That was reported.
AJ's not as bum as, you know, LaFleur, because he knows if Rodgers goes to, you know, the Las Vegas Raiders, he'll get on every tour bus in America.
Oh, you're 100% right, huh? You're 100% right.
The connections for Hawk will only skyrocket.
Yep, you're right.
Tour bus. For like musical acts?
Yeah, because, whenever Brett Michaels came to see Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay and then you ended up on the tour bus.
Can I call
he said, where's AJ
with
Hawk?
The Affliction t-shirt.
How'd you guys, sounds like you guys were in the room.
Here we go, AJ.
Jesus. Did you guys do that? Did you do any songwriting on the bus?
No, I have not dabbled in any tongue.
There it is. There it is.
Yes.
Who had longer hair?
That is so amazing. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you get the sense his hair was real there?
I was going to ask the same question.
It seemed real to me, yeah.
Well, it's still real to me, damn it.
I think that's part of it. I didn't touch it or anything, but yeah.
All right, let's get to some phones here. Let's go to Dustin in Montana. What's going on, Dustin?
Not much, man. Broncos country out here, and on behalf of all of Broncos country, I'd like to, in 1 month's time, welcome Aaron Rodgers, the greatest sporting franchise ever created.
There we go. Congrats, Aaron. Way to go. Do you have any inside information?
Same quarterback.
Do you know any insider information, Dustin, on that's going to happen?
John Elway just got it done once with your man Peyton. Got to have faith he's going to do it twice.
Gave him the keys. Just gave Peyton the keys. Said, do whatever you want to do. I don't know. That's going to have to be a big move, and the Packers are going to have to agree to it. It is the conversation right now, though. And, you know, I feel so bad for those kids that got drafted. You know, those young men that got their dreams made. And, the only thing anybody's talking about is Turd Ferguson. Him wearing Turd Ferguson in that interview, AJ. One of my favorite moves. Just with everything that's going on. He knew as soon as he pops onto that thing, there's going to be a screenshot of it. And just knowing, oh, everybody's going to zoom in on this. Fucking beautiful.
Well played.
It is absolutely beautiful, AJ.
Yeah, just like it, a lot of things, like you do stuff to entertain yourself. And it seems like that. I have no idea what this is about or who made this for him. But, yeah, he wore it, and he's obviously just having fun.
Let's go to Andrew in Florida. What's going on, Andrew? Diner in Florida.
Ah, boys, AJ, how the hell are we doing on this marvelous Overreaction Monday?
Oh, okay. We're feeling magnificent, pal. What do you want to talk about?
Absolutely magnificent. I just want to talk about how Jason Light is the absolute greatest drafter that I can think of in recent memory. I mean, you look at who he's picked up, Tristan Wirfs last year, unbelievable.
Pretty good.
And picking up Kyle Trask in the second round for a steal. I mean, he's just killing it.
Absolute steal. You're right, Andrew. Bongo's fucking got a complicated system.
I was going to say, that thing
Bongo's got a complicated system up here in the front. I can't figure out which one's going which way. It's going to be tough to make the camo if I can't figure it out. I do have the old unicorn going right now.
Oh, nice.
Triceratops.
Yeah, it's like, well, I'm like a racehorse. You know,
put that around your waist.
Talking about big old dick. Look, it looks like a goose right now. Look, I just made a goose.
Wow, yeah, it's incredible.
You see, there's the feathers in the back right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's an angry goose. Oh no,
jeez!
All right, who did Bongo? So, who did Bongo?
Don't look at me.
Nope.
Wasn't Gumpy me. It was you.
Why would it be me?
No, Gumpy did it. Gumpy.
I think you need like a passport and stuff like that to hire a client. Can't just get Bongo to nowhere.
Let's go Peter in Connecticut. Jesus, what's going on, Peter?
Pat, gentlemen, how goes the battle?
Hey, not too shabby, pal. How are you?
I'm doing well. Listen, come on.
Great.
You can have a better U.S. than this. You see my heart for the plus. Pittsburgh Riverhounds.
Yeah, I agree. Pittsburgh Riverhounds. I think he said Pittsburgh Riverhounds. That team, great at soccer, AJ. You wouldn't be able to fucking stand a chance against the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, AJ Hawk.
I don't know. I think I might do all right.
That's right. CJ in Washington, what's going on, dude?
And the boys, AJ, how's it going?
Not too shabby, CJ. What do you want to talk about?
All right, here we go. Is Gunta Kuntz and LaFleur the next Belichick in the sense that they're getting ready to do a spike bowl?
Oh.
Or are we on Aaron Rodgers' side saying, hey, you know what? I'm a Packer fan. Fuck Green Bay right now. I want Aaron to be successful as a human being because of what this show has made him out to be.
Very nice to see, Jay, think that. Yeah. What if they do go on to win a spike bowl just like Tom and Bill did after the alleged Jimmy G, Tom Brady situation that happened behind closed doors? Because Tom won the MVP then, right? Tom won the MVP
in 2017.
Yeah, so that kind of threw a wrench in the entire, we're going to trade him, we're going to use Jimmy G, just like we've done with everybody else. Then that allegedly explodes behind closed doors. They go on to have a spite Super Bowl together, and then Tom ends up leaving. Seems like that is setting up to do the exact thing right now over there in Green Bay. Whatever the case, if you're a Green Bay Packers fan, you don't care if it's a spite Super Bowl. You don't care what it is as long as you win a Super Bowl. But it feels like the Aaron Tom, Peyton Manning situation at the end is very similar here. It's going to be fascinating to see how this plans out, AJ.
Well, don't you think if you are a Packers fan, you have to hope and pray that they can get a spite Super Bowl, because the only way they have a chance of winning the Super Bowl is if Aaron Rodgers is back on the roster.
Bingo.
Say if he shows up.
You guys don't know. Jordan Love.
Okay.
Taking massive leaps.
It's nothing against him, though.
Yeah, it's nothing against him.
Think about it, though.
He ain't fucking Rodgers.
Nobody is. Nobody's Aaron, but they don't. I don't think they know what they have in Jordan Love. I mean, he wasn't even the backup last year. So how many reps could he get?
I'm just telling you, this is what some people would say. To be honest, we don't know. We don't want the headache anymore. We'll move on Jordan Love. We'll probably be able to get 3 ones out of this if we really want or whatever. There's some people that are probably saying that. You people are stupid. Those people need to realize you need to keep old 12 on that roster for at least another 8 years, which he probably has in there. I feel like Pacers get spoiled with things, and they just don't even realize what hell looks like. And then you ask the people in Detroit and Cleveland, they're like, don't do what you're doing, okay? Don't continue to do what you're doing. This is going to get bad. Mm-hmm. This could get bad. And it's like Ty might be staring down being the owner of a team that's just miserable for a while. If this whole thing blows up, which we're not sure it will.
Ask Patriots fans.
Well, like you said, unless they think Jordan Love is going to win the MVP next year, unless he can just slide in and win the MVP next year, then there is no reason to get rid of Rodgers and ride with him.
I enjoy playing for the now, but Green Bay's always been an organization that looks at the future.
That's right.
And foreseeable future, yep. They said Aaron's here for the foreseeable future. Then they said we're not trading the guy. Then there's people saying, well, he's not playing, and there's this. It's all going to continue to boil as we continue to roll here. Did you see Michael Vick run a 4.72 this past weekend for the Run Rich Run? Unbelievable, AJ. What would you run right now? 6.7 flat, maybe?
Well, we had a family knockout game going yesterday with, like, 8-10 of us, and I tell you what, I mean, I was playing hard, but it was very painful.
Who won?
Oh, I won a few times. My 8-year-old won a few times. Both my brothers each won. Like, Pistol did not win, unfortunately. He stepped hindered him a little bit, but he didn't win.
So when were you down there? When did you come back from the Derby?
I got there at 4 a.m. After the show on Thursday night, so Friday morning, and we left about 9 p.m. Friday night and got home at 1.
What the hell?
Were people still up when you got there?
Surprisingly, when we rolled in at 3:30, that a good chunk of the guys were still up waiting, hanging out.
Oh, they were having a good time.
Yeah.
Imagine the conversations that we're having there. They're probably going to get leaked, I assume, at some point.
They're on Cali time, too.
Yeah, well, Miles Teller's from Philly. Yeah, I mean,
Miles was ready to go. I was like, sorry, but I got to go to bed, man. It's like 4 almost.
Oh, so Miles Teller has a good time.
Miles, yes. Miles, he's one of us. He would do. I'm actually going to send him a text. You want him to come? We should have him call into the show sometime.
If Miles Teller come on his show, I'd be thankful.
Yeah.
For
it. Yeah.
Look at you being
a big Philly fan. He was getting mad because he's a big Philly fan. I was like, oh, Eagles are garbage. They're going to be so terrible. And then he would come back. He's like, wait, are you serious? Do you really think they're going to be that bad?
Get all emotional. Hey, Devontae Smith, I like that.
That's good pick.
Not everybody in their front office was excited about it, though. There was a big fist bump blow-off situation. Fuck you from an old guy who's about done with it. I assume he's not going to be a part of the Eagles organization for much longer.
No.
After that whole thing. The draft is fascinating. All these kids could stink. They could all be great. Can't wait to watch and find out. Can't thank you enough for choosing to listen to this show. I know there's a lot of things you could listen to. The fact that you allow us to penetrate not only your ear holes, but your day-to-day schedule, we can't thank you enough. We hope today was a show you said, you know what? Worthy of my investment of time.
I think so today.
I hope so. If not, we'll be back at it tomorrow. We'll be better. Be a friend, tell a friend. If not, just act like it never happened. Ty, please play some independent music and propel these people into a beautiful Monday night. We'll see you tomorrow.